good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody in God's house today. Amen.
Amen.
Just want to remind you real quick before we get started, we will not have our evening service tonight. There's a tent revival Brother Kenny Morris putting on. We're going to go and try to help support that. Anybody who would like to, it starts at 6. It's over at the corner of Lick Skillet Road and Highway 15. He's going to have a tent meeting over there. I know what some of you are saying, man, that's over at the club. Actually, he bought that and has turned it into a church. So they're gonna have they got a tent meeting going on there this week from the 25th through the 29th. We will meet our normal. We talked about maybe going on Wednesday, but I've decided we're going to have our normal prayer meeting time here at church on Wednesday. I just feel like we need to do that praying time there. So we will be here on Wednesday, our normal time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the second chapter of Job.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Also, next Sunday is first Sunday. We're looking for some people to sing, play an instrument, you know, whatever. Anything. We're looking for some good, talented folks to step up to the plate next Sunday morning at 10:30. So we're excited about that as well. We're going to be in Job chapter 2 today. This is part 2 of about a 4-part series I'm doing entitled, What Happens When Your World Takes a 360-Degree Turn? Last week we talked about how Satan was allowed to take all of Job's material possessions from him. But Job passed the test. He stood strong in the face of adversity. He lost all of his possessions, all of his livestock. He lost all 10 of his children in one day. And in all of that, he fell to his knees in worship and basically said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, that was a powerful testimony, wasn't it? I dare say that many of us would have been able to follow suit with Job and do the same thing that Job did if those things had happened to us. However, part 2 of the sermon today is entitled, What Happens When Your World Takes a 360-Degree Turn on Your Health? We're going to talk about health a little bit today because, you see, a lot of times when things are going great in our lives, we don't have problems praising God, do we? But when the storms of life come, that's when a lot of times we find out who the real true believers are and who those who are only that in name are. As we're going to read about today, Satan didn't give up on Job. And Satan's not going to let go of anybody in this room right now. I can tell you he's going to try to manipulate you. He's going to try to continue to bring bad things into your life and tempt you and try to get you to fall off the path of serving Jesus. And if you let him, if you give him a foothold, he will take control of you before you know it. So I want to encourage you to stay strong in the Lord. Don't ever give up hope. There's always hope in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You never run out of hope as long as you believe in Jesus. And I want you to understand that. We're going to focus today in Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 13. Now, the first part of Job chapter 2 starts exactly the way that Job chapter 1 started. Here, the angels and God, they're kind of meeting together, and here comes Satan kind of worming his way into the meeting. And God basically says the same thing to him. He basically comes and he says, "Hey, what about my servant Job? Even though you put me against him, he still passed the test. He still did not curse me." And Satan says, "You know what? As long as a man's healthy, he can overcome material things." So you see, Satan wasn't giving up, was he? He was going to look at it from a different angle now. He said, "But I guarantee you this, skin for skin, you take his health away from him, and he's going to curse you to your face." And guess what? A lot of believers have done that. A lot of people who say they're born-again believers, when something bad happens to them, or they get afflicted with some disease or some calamity in their lives, instead of running to Jesus, they run away from him. And they wonder why the suffering lasts and it seems to carry on, and their life just begins to spiral out of control. Guys, if you're a child of God, he's not going to let go of you. I want you to understand that. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves each and every one of us. He does not love us any more today than he did yesterday. His love is everlasting and unending. But now there are things that we're going to do in our lives that are not going to be pleasing to him. Job was kind of an exception to that rule. Here's a man who was allowed, who Satan was allowed to manipulate him, and he was living the righteous life. He was upright, blameless. That's what he was described as. But yet all of this terrible stuff happened to him. But you know what he said? Why should I expect any different? It's all God's anyway. Wouldn't that be a great way to look at things in life? That should be the way we look at things in life. Everything we have belongs to God. God gives, God can reasonably take away, right? But see, that's not how we feel. We feel that, God, you gave it to me, you shouldn't have took it from me. And that's not the way it is. God is going to always take something from us to teach us something better, amen? He's going to take something from us to show us something better. I'm going to ask all of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to read from Job chapter 2, in honor of the reading of God's word, verses 7 through 13. So when Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, let nothing that I say the next few minutes be about me, but let it be all about you, Lord, to glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You see, Job once again was handed over to Satan to do as he wanted to with him, except he could not take his life. Let me stop here and say something real quick before we get into this morning. I want you to understand that Satan does have control from time to time of your health. Satan can inflict disease upon you, just like he was able to inflict disease upon Job. But Satan cannot cause you to die 1 second before God wants to call you home. Amen? I want you to understand that. Satan is not in control of your life. If you're a born-again believer, that is in God's hands. Everyone's life is in God's hands, especially for the born-again believer. So Satan, for God to tell him that, he was just reminding the devil, hey, you can do whatever you want to with him from a physical standpoint, but I'm in charge of his life and death. So let's just make that clear up front. That's what God was basically telling Satan here. You can do what you want to with him physically and emotionally, but I'm still going to decide when this man will die. It's not going to be you. You see, I believe that, first of all, healing comes from God alone. Healing does not come from the devil. I can tell you this. In fact, there's some scripture in the Bible where Jesus was accused of healing people in the name of Satan by some of the Pharisees. Jesus said, this can't be, because a house divided will not stand. You can't be against your own cause. So make no mistake, healing comes from above. Healing comes from God. It does not come. It's not rooted at all in anything Satan does. But now destruction, famine, peril, calamity, pain, suffering, these come from Satan. And these are what he loves to bestow in the life of a believer. The devil wants you to suffer. He wants you to feel pain. He wants you to feel anguish. And guess what? When you allow these emotions to control you, he has won. How many of you are going to keep letting Satan win? Satan is defeated, amen? Can I get a witness? Amen. Satan is a defeated foe. He cannot do anything to a born-again believer except what you allow him to do. Now, He inflicted Job with these painful sores. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this disease that he gave Job here. It's described in the Bible as painful boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. A lot of biblical scholars, as I did some research on this, they believe that this disease that he was actually inflicted with was called black leprosy, better known as elephantiasis in certain parts of the world. It's where your skin becomes disfigured and thick, almost resembling the flesh of an elephant. I mean, this stuff is nasty. You get sores, the skin breaks open, it runs. As we read on in the book of Job, we discover that his skin was full of worms. In other words, he got maggots in these sores. It was so painful, he took a piece of pottery and was just scraping the dead skin off of him because it was itching him so bad and he was so pained that he couldn't do anything for it, that that's all he could do. So this man was a miserable mess. I mean, when his friends showed up from afar, they couldn't even recognize him. So we know that this disease and this disorder affected the whole entire person of Job. Not just his legs, as elephantiasis often affects from the waist down a lot of times. This infected him all over. His friends couldn't even tell who he was. His friends couldn't tell who he was. Now, guys, Satan, I mean, that's exactly what he wanted. He wanted Job to be irrecognizable. He wanted Job to be despised by people. He wanted Job to be separated and put outside of town, which is where Job ended up, by the way, as we'll study later on. He wasn't around his family, what was left of him. Well, his wife, basically, as we read a minute ago, gave him very poor advice. She basically had given up on him. So he was out here by himself, and here comes his friends. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Yes, Satan can cause sickness in your life, as we have seen in this chapter right here. So I don't want you to get caught up in saying, God, why did you make me have this? God, why did you give me this? Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and Satan can inflict sickness and disease as long as God allows it to happen. And a lot of times you got to understand the reason that this sickness and this disease is inflicted on a believer especially, and I'm going to say this and I want you to hear me real clear about this morning. It's not because the believer did something wrong. Job didn't do anything wrong here. Job was the victim of this suffering. But God had a greater plan through all of it, and God has a greater plan when we as believers suffer. A lot of times it's not because we've done the wrong, it's because God wants to get a message to somebody close to us. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. A lot of times God allows suffering in the life of a believer because he's trying to reach someone within the family of that believer. I know that for a fact. I've experienced that for a fact. And guess what? A lot of times the people he was trying to reach are still going down the path of unrighteousness, are still doing the very same things that they did before their loved one had this terrible thing inflicted upon them. I'm telling you something, if they truly are a child of God, God will do something that will finally wake them up. I want you to understand that. If you are not living your life right for Christ, Jesus loves you. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to allow him to come into your heart. But guys, I'm telling you what. If you're not a born-again believer, Satan is controlling you. Satan will continue to control you and will continue to manipulate you from the inside out. When you become a born-again believer, praise God, the Holy Spirit of God forces the devil out of you, and then he has to operate from the outside in. See, that's what was happening to Job. The devil wasn't inside Job because what did it say in chapter 1? How can I mess with this man? You built a hedge around him. In other words, I'm not allowed to be inside him anymore. But I can operate from the outside. If you'll just let me cut a little hole in that hedge right here, I'll get to him. So you see, you can't say, the devil was controlling me. The devil made me do it. No, the devil cannot make you do anything if you're a child of God. He can manipulate you into wanting to do some things that you shouldn't be doing. In the book of Mark, I find it very interesting because, you know, a lot of people don't look at disease and illness as being from the devil. But if you read the book of Mark, I found a statistic as I was reading through the book of Mark and reading about the different healings that Jesus performed. About 25% of the healings Jesus did in the book of Mark involved casting demons out of someone. Because you see, before God can bring about healing, Satan must be cast out from the presence of that person before healing can come. That's why if I'm praying for someone to be healed, if it's a disease or something that the person is still peaceful about, then I tend to think that that probably was not a disease born of the devil. That was just a normal, natural disease that happened to that person. If, however, that person is in turmoil, that person is in unusual pain and suffering and anguish, I have to believe that Satan's at the root of it. So when I pray for someone to be healed, I'm first of all going to pray that Satan be cast out from around that person. Some of you may be saying, "Preacher, you're going way out here in left field." No, I'm not. I'm going to God's Word. That's what God's Word says. First of all, Jesus himself, before he could bring healing, had to cast multiple demons out of people. If you don't believe me, read the book of Mark. Not all of them, but 25% of the people he healed in that book were demon-possessed. And guys, I'm going to tell you what, there are a lot of demons roaming the earth today. The demons of alcoholism, the demons of drug addiction, the demons of pornography, the demons of child abuse, the demons of divorce. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. And he is controlling and manipulating countless thousands, if not millions of people into all of these avenues I just mentioned. But there is a cure for it. There is hope. And that hope is Jesus. You see, Jesus can free you from that bondage. It was because of God that Job was able to stand under this suffering. This was not normal. This didn't make sense for somebody to stand up to that kind of suffering and still praise God. That didn't make sense, did it? But he did it. I want to present to you this morning real quick three ways I believe Satan works to bring sickness and suffering on people. Three ways that Satan brings sickness and suffering on people. First of all, we've established that Satan can cause disease in your life. I want you to understand that. I mean, we just read here in the book of Job, Satan's the reason that Job lost all his possessions, and he's the reason that Job was infected with this black leprosy that covered him from head to toe. It's because Satan was allowed to manipulate him and cause that. The first way I believe Satan can bring sickness and suffering on people is through direct contact, through demonization. In other words, demon possession. People being possessed of Satan to the point that they are driven to do the things they do because Satan is at the root core of them. Now, can that be a true born-again believer of God? Satan cannot directly control you from the core, but he can certainly influence you from the outside. Remember, let me tell you, God is just so incredible. When he gives me messages to bring to you guys here in the congregation, it all starts on one journey and it ends up at another point in the journey. If you remember, several weeks back, I preached a sermon entitled Bad Company Corrupts Good Character. You remember that sermon? And what I was basically saying there is, be careful who you hang around with, because guess what? If they're unholy, ungodly people and they're worldly people who Satan has control over already, guess what? They're going to influence you. Guess what? They may convince you to do the things they're doing. I'm going to tell you this. I guarantee you, if you're a born-again believer hanging around with ungodly people, you will do what they do before they'll ever do what you do. It just happens that way. It happens that way. You know why? Because it's easier for you to go their way than it is for them to go your way. Because your way requires commitment, dedication, and a true love for Jesus. Their way doesn't. Their way is an easy way. Just jump on this road, this wide road that leads to destruction. So Satan can cause sickness directly through the influence of the demons he has at his command. You've got to understand, I think when some people think of the devil, they think it's just this one entity. No, when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, there were legions of fallen angels that were kicked out with him. They're all roaming around to and fro with him. That's why so many people are affected worldwide. It's not just one person trying to do all this. There could be millions. Who knows? But there's certainly way more than one, I can tell you that. So direct contact with Satan can cause sickness through the possession that these demons can have over a person. Well, you say, well, preacher, they're not running around foaming at the mouth and, you know, attacking people like some of the demon-possessed people in the Bible were. No, but they're doing some of the very things those people were doing, cutting themselves. There's mention in the Bible about demons that caused people to cut themselves in there, and Jesus had to cast those demons out of them. So you see, even though they may not be appearing just like some of the demon-possessed people in God's Word did, don't think that Satan isn't controlling them. I'm going to tell you what, any type of addiction is controlled by Satan. He's allowed to have a control over you to where you just put this as the forefront of your life. You have to break that. But guess what? You accept Jesus in your life. You know what? Oftentimes you don't even have to face any kind of rehab or rehabilitation because the Holy Ghost of God rehabilitates you. Amen. He comes in and he cleans you up from the inside out. He makes it repulsive to you to look at pornography ever again. He makes it repulsive to you to drink alcohol again. He makes it repulsive to you to do drugs again. That can only come from God. That's the only way that can come. You can't do that in and of yourself. You got to have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. So number one, a way that Satan can work is directly in your life, bringing about sickness. Number two, the second way that Satan can bring sickness and suffering on people is this. He can indirectly use the natural results of the fall of man. He can indirectly use the natural results of the fall of man. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Guys, remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? First of all, you do realize that we weren't supposed to get sick. We weren't supposed to have cancer. We weren't supposed to have diabetes. We weren't supposed to have strokes and heart attacks. It was supposed to be perfection with no pain. But guess what? When Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit and Satan was able to manipulate them and bring sin into the picture, then came disease, then came anguish, then came weeping, then came suffering, then came sickness. And guess what? It's been here ever since the beginning of time when man fell. So, Satan now, all he has to do is use what was introduced into the world as the result of the fall of man. And what I mean by that is this. There's bacteria in the world. A lot of diseases are born out of bacteria. There's viruses in the world. A lot of diseases are born out of viruses. Old age, certainly when we get older, our bodies change. We get less active. Our body begins to wear out. That's just a natural process of aging. Satan can use those things to make it worse. They're already here. The reason they're here is because Satan won out in the Garden of Eden. But guess what? You know who else was in that Garden of Eden? Jesus. You're like, preacher, Jesus wasn't there. It was God. Well, guess what? If you know God, you know Jesus. Amen? Because they're one and the same. Jesus was in the Garden of Eden, and God, that part of him, had already decided, you know what? Way on down the road here, I'm going to send a part of myself in a flesh and bone body, and I'm going to redeem mankind once and for all. I'm going to fix it where if they'll follow me and they accept me, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more death. Now, I'm not talking about in the physical world we live in. I'm talking about when you get to heaven. See, one thing we got to understand is this. You prayed for your loved one. They died anyway. You prayed for your brother or sister in Christ to overcome this calamity in their life. It happened anyway. So you might say, well, God, you weren't listening. God, you didn't answer my prayers. God, what happened here? But guess what? If they're a born-again believer, they've already won. Amen. They've already won. You understand what I'm saying? Because their victory happens the minute they take their last breath. So if God calls your loved one home and you prayed for a physical healing to keep them here on this earth, rejoice if they're a born-again believer. Amen. Because they've already got their reward. They've got freed from sickness. In essence, God did answer your prayer. He freed them from sickness. He freed them from illness. He put them in a situation where they'll never suffer again if they're a child of God. Amen. So I want to encourage you to understand this. If we're a born-again believer and we die, that's a time for rejoicing. You may say, well, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to die, but hey, I'm not afraid to. I'm not necessarily in a hurry to leave from here, but whenever God's ready, I'm ready. You know why? Because I get to be in the presence of Jesus. I don't think y'all understand that. Because, you see, that's what it's all about here on this earth. We suffer on this earth for Jesus. And when our suffering's over, we get a reward. When our turmoil is over, when our trials and tribulations are over, we get rewarded. But the world and all of the things that they love will be punished. So see, why wouldn't you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Why would you want to risk losing everything when God's told you He'll give you everything with Him? That's the second way that Satan directly uses the natural results of the fall to cause sickness and suffering among us. And the third thing is this. And this is kind of a tough one here, but God does do this. And that's this. Satan tempts people to fall into sin. So this person falls into sin. God at times uses sickness and will allow or even inflict sickness upon someone to punish them for what they've done. You may say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Okay, well let me point out some scripture that backs that up, okay? First of all, in the Old Testament, there's a situation where the Israelites rebelled against Moses and Aaron. There was a rebellion over the Korah, and not the Koran now, don't get confused here, okay? There was a rebellion that went on here against Moses and Aaron. God sent a plague among the Israelites, and before God said, okay, give a burnt offering to stop this, 14,700 people were killed. 14,700 people were killed. There's another instance where God killed over 50,000 Israelites when they disobeyed Him by looking into the ark of the Lord when He told them not to. So don't think that God doesn't inflict punishment on people to bring them back and redirect them, because He does. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. As born-again believers, we need to wake up. When someone close to us gets sick, like I said before, it's not always about that person did something wrong. Maybe we did something wrong. Maybe God's trying to wake us up. That loved one is suffering from something. God, are You speaking to me? That's what you ought to be asking. Whenever somebody close to me comes down with some terrible thing, one of the first things I say is, God, are You trying to speak to me through this? But so many people won't do that. They just think, oh, that's terrible. That's a bad thing. That's a pity. And then the person may or may not die. They may recover from it. They may die from it. And they just keep on with their life just as though nothing happened. Guys, I'm telling you, God speaks to us through illness. God speaks to us through the illness of our loved ones sometimes. We got to listen to Him. We got to listen to Him. Now here's old Job's wife. This man was ill. This man was sick. God was wanting to speak to her just like He was wanting to speak to His three friends that came. Instead, what did she come up and say? Curse God and die. Now, I'm sure she was still grieving, because I know how a mother is when they lose a child. She lost her 10 children in one day. I'm sure she was overcome by grief. And I'm sure that was a bad thing in her life. But guys, that is no reason to blaspheme the name of God. I don't care what happens in your life. You have no reason to talk to God that way. We have no reason to talk to Him that way. We have no reason to talk to Him that way. And I'm going to tell you this. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I'm about done here, and I'm fixing to close. Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway. Regardless of what comes your way in life, I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to say here. God is always holy. God is always righteous, and good and never merits cursing from His creation, but always blessing. Amen? God does not deserve to be cursed by us when bad things happen to us. We should bless. We should bless His name just like Job did. What happened to Job? The first thing that happened to him, all his possessions were gone. He fell on his knees and worshiped God. Wow. Now that's powerful right there. That's powerful right there. And basically what Job was saying here, even when he got infected with all these sores, he told his wife, he said, "You're acting foolish. Should we not expect bad with good?" Guys, I hope you didn't get saved to think that your life was going to be good from this point on. Because I hate to tell you, you're going to get disappointed. Because there's going to be times where your life does take a 360-degree turn. And you are faced with things in your life that you don't like, that don't make sense to you. But God's got a plan for you. Amen? God is always in control. God can see the end of the story. How many of you used to listen to Paul Harvey? And that's the end of the story. God's already seen the end of it. You know why? Because He created it. He knows what's going to happen in the end. We just got to trust Him with the beginning and the middle. If we'll trust Him with the beginning and the middle, He's got the end already covered. Amen? Don't you want your ending to be great? You know how when you watch a movie and the ending just makes you so mad? It shouldn't have ended that way. I can't believe that movie ended that way. I've had that happen a few times. It made me not even want to go see a movie after that. But guys, guess what? God wants your movie to end good. He doesn't want it to end bad. But you're the only one that has control of that. He knows how it's going to end, and He knows what He's going to bring into your life and allow into your life. And how you respond to that will determine whether others around you will grow or will run. Because if when the devil is inflicting things in your life, you grow, guess what? They're going to want to know about that. They're going to want to come closer to that. They're going to want to be a part of that. But if you run, they're never going to know Jesus. Guys, it's time for us as believers to dig our heels in. And even if Satan is inflicting illness in our lives, illness around us, we're going to praise God from whom all blessings flow. We're going to trust Him as our Savior. Joy comes in the morning. And guess what? I love this scripture from the book of Matthew. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. Greater is He who is in me. If God is in me, if the Holy Spirit of God is living in me, He is far greater than anything that Satan could do to me in my life. So what I'm saying here today is if I walk out of this building and I drop dead as I walk out of this building, I will be proud to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I hope my family would be too. I'm sure, well, some of them might rejoice. I don't know. But anyway, I better not say that too loud. Some of them may just jump up and start shouting for the first time. But guys, listen. God gives us this life. That is a gift from Him to us to bless Him with. Now, He gives us blessing along the way, but part of that testing is just like what Job went through. How are you going to react when these things happen in your life? Are you going to still praise me in the storms? Or are you going to turn your back and pout and get mad and angry? Now, don't get me wrong. It's okay to get angry with God. I've got mad at God before, and I'm like, God, why did this happen? I don't understand this. But like Job, I did not curse God. I did not say, God, I don't want to have anything else to do with you. And God gave me peace. That peace which transcends all understanding from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. So I want to end this message today by saying this. There is always hope in the name of Jesus. Amen? There's always hope in the name of Jesus. I don't care what you're going through. You may be going through one of the worst times in your life. Satan may have dragged you through the mud and the muck. But guess what? There's brighter days ahead if you'll trust Him. And if you'll learn from what it is He's trying to teach you, there are brighter days ahead. And I can promise you this. The more you learn to praise God in these rough times in your life, the easier it will be when your life does take a 360-degree turn. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for Your Word. God, I thank you for Job, who gives me great comfort, especially when I feel like things are not going right in my life. Lord, it really puts me in a right perspective to realize, you know what? I don't have it too bad after all. And I just hope and pray that we can take away from that. I hope and pray we'll realize, Lord, that Satan is the root cause of a lot of our illnesses and diseases. Not all of them, but a great portion of them. And Lord, that you are still in control of our lives. He cannot decide he wants to take us before it's time for you to call us home. And Lord, I pray that whatever life the rest of us have in this building, that we'll use it for you. God, I'm still holding on to the belief that there are people in this room right now that really don't know you as their Savior. Lord, I'm praying that they'll come to know you before it's too late. Lord, you love us. You always have and you always will. You're going to love us until we take our last breath, whether we're a believer or a non-believer. But God, I'm just praying that when we do take our last breath, that we'll wake up, our eyes will open up in heaven instead of in a place called hell, which is complete separation from you. Lord, I just pray, God, for great things to happen among your people here. And Lord, we're going to give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky? We're singing hymn number 436. Let's stand as we sing. And as always, the altar is open. I want to encourage you to come and pray. If you need to make a decision for Christ, it's open. We're here. Will you come today?